Hello everyone, we're here again. It's PSC 873 and it's Monday the 10th of November. And we, I'm here with Joe as usual. Hello, Joe.
Hello there, how you doing?
All right. And we have as our guest today David Hewitt, who's most famously known to us through our MeWe group, of course, from the UK somewhere, and mostly using Android, my notes say. Hello, David.
Hello there. Hello, everybody.
Now, have you been on PSC before? That's the question.
I've not, no.
You haven't? Oh, so this is the first time. I keep getting called out on that. Because previously, when we were doing PSC, Steve was in charge of all the bookings for everyone. So he knew who had been on and who hadn't. So just a brief word about yourself, where you live, kind of roughly how old you are, if you work, what you do for a living.
Well, I'm 59 years old. I live in Stalybridge, which is up in the northwest near Manchester. I'm retired now. I retired about 7 years ago. I took early retirement, fortunately. I used to be a barrister's clerk working in Manchester. I was there for 32 years. So, but a long old time at that. But it did give me the opportunity to retire early. So grateful for that. I've been enjoying retirement ever since.
And how far is that from Manchester?
We're probably about 10 miles or so from Manchester. On a good day, you can get in about 40 minutes, but on a bad day, it can be up to 2 hours or so. So, depending on the crazy traffic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, phoneshowchat.uk is our website. You'll find links to all the stuff we're going to talk about today in there. What else can I tell you? We have the MeWe group. And we have various websites like my own one, tedsalmon.com, links in there to everything. MeWe group is where most of us hang out, though, including David, me and Joe, or Joe and I. Let's get stuck in, shall we? Right, Joe, you've got a major apology to put forth, haven't you?
I have indeed, yeah. I missed the pub meet, didn't I? I'm very rarely ill, though, to be honest, but I felt really rough on the Friday. I got through work and pills, but the next day I just couldn't face it. I was a wuss. But I'm glad to see the gents did still meet up.
They did. And we had Mike, Charlie, Anthony, Jeremy and Chad, where we put a photograph of the group in the MeWe group. Anyone that wants to track that down, and you did some clever conjuring on the photos, didn't you? Because there was a point at which Anthony wasn't there at the same time as Charlie or something.
Yeah, that's right. So I used Snapseed for that, double exposure, and I used my magic pen to sort of draw him in there.
Brilliant. So that worked out quite well. Great to see some people there talking to each other about this, that and the other. Anthony Daniels said, everyone was genuinely friendly, lots to talk about, nice to put faces to names. The best devices, flagship slabs, are definitely not the most interesting or discussed devices. The TCL E7 Fold Duo were the most fun and the ones we played with the most. We try comparing our cameras in quite low light in the pub. My picks were rather bright, says Anthony. It's only taken me 3 years to realise it had an auto night mode turned on. Perhaps next time we could also play with the microphones and speaker quality. It's great that a group of people made the effort and went to the pub meet, which was in central London in a Wetherspoons, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was indeed, yeah. Chad Dixon actually picked the location, and by all accounts, it was a very good location.
Yeah, Jeremy Harpham, Chad Dixon, Charlie Winston, Anthony Daniels, and Mike Robbins were there, and they all decided to record a little bit of audio, and I kind of patched it all together. Jeremy kindly orchestrated it, but sent it in. I patched it together, and we made a little audio clip, so let's play that now, and you can hear what they're all saying.
Hi everybody, it's Jeremy here and we're at the inaugural London PSC meetup. We had five people turn up today, including Mike and Anthony and Chad, myself, and Charles as well, who had to leave earlier, unfortunately. We've had a great time. Chat has gone every which way possible, I think, from comparing the Huawei Honor 3 with the Fold 7 and an original Surface Duo on the folding phone front to many others. And I'll let each of the others introduce themselves and talk a bit about that. Thank you.
Hello everyone, it's Anthony Daniels here. Really enjoyed the afternoon and seeing some fantastic devices. My first sight of the Microsoft Duo, which I thought was great. I brought my ancient Poco X5 along and got some good advice on what to replace it with. One of the hot topics was about fast charging, which I said I'm really keen on because the Poco supports 67 watts. We all, I think, agreed that pixels are a little bit miserable, because certainly if you're living a busy life, going in and out of trains in London, doing different things in your car, out your car, that the fast charging can be extremely useful sometimes. And sorry Joe couldn't make it, but really looking forward to seeing him and other people at the next one. Best wishes.
So Mike Robbins here at the pub meet for the phone show chat. We've all had a great time. I don't have any particularly new phones to bring other than my Honor Magic V2, which I've been learning more about from people. But I did bring along my Nokia E7 just for nostalgia's sake. And everyone thought, what a lovely screen. It's a shame it takes a fortnight to wake up and is really slow to respond. And as for connecting to the internet and the phone system, forget it. But yeah, we're all having a good time, and there's a good pub, and it's quite cheap, and the beer's good. So, Mike out.
Hi, it's Chad Dixon here. I was really glad to be managed to make it to the very first PSC pub meetup here in the central London. We're at the Pendrell's Oak Pub, which is not far from Holborn. It was great to also see some phones I'd never ever had hands on before, like the Duo One and a Xiaomi, as well as a Poco phone, which I'd never ever seen before in my life. We also talked about smartwatches. We tend to use our smartwatches fairly well, i.e. using the step counters and for our health. But we did find a few other things that you can use the smartwatch for, like taking remote photographs, as we did a selfie with all of us, which you'll no doubt see at some point on MeWe. And it was a really, really nice afternoon here on the 1st of November in the central London. So roll on the next one.
Hi, this is Charles, known as Charles Winston on the forum. We had the meetup today where I met Jeremy, Mike and Chad. We basically spoke about folding phones. We focused on two things. Firstly, the battery capacity, which I made a big deal about with foldables. And then secondly, the camera quality with the phones. I obviously made a big deal about 1-inch sensors and how they seem to be exclusive to candy bar phones. And that was really the gist of the kind of meetup while I was there. I did have to leave early. We also touched on phone cases and other electronic accessories like smartwatches, etc. But it was mostly talking about folding phones, of which Jeremy had several.
Well, thanks, guys, for the conversation and for coming out today. It was great to have everybody here for this first day, and I look forward to more meets and more people. And hopefully we'll get Joe along too. Sorry you couldn't make it today because you were feeling unwell, and hope you recover soon. And that's it from us. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well done, everyone.
So what a great evening.
Yeah, and Joe, perhaps you'll go to the next one.
Yeah, I bet. It sounded like good fun. And there's no doubting there was in the pub with the background noise there, was there?
Well, no, exactly, yeah. So, good stuff. Thanks, guys. That was really good. Right, Malcolm Bryant, go on, David.
I was just going to say, maybe we'll have one up in the northwest sometime.
Well, that's interesting.
Some interesting
Yes, interesting you should say that, because Jeremy Harpham, who was orchestrating a lot of what was going on that day, he is coming onto the show in January, and he specifically wants to talk about a poll about pub meets and where perhaps we could do a poll as to where people are and where there's enough enthusiasm to have one elsewhere in the country apart from London. So watch this space on that one. Malcolm Bryant, fed back on the last show. Ted was broadly correct about Health Connect on the last show. Devs have to implement the Health Connect API to read from and write to it, and that usage has to be approved by Google via a review process. I've been through this review for a couple of my apps. Once approved, a third-party app can then ask the user to grant permissions to write to or read from Health Connect. Only if the user grants permission can the third-party app do so. I just checked, and it appears that Strava doesn't implement the Health Connect API at all, which is what Scott was talking about. At the moment, Health Connect doesn't even have a proper UI, at least not on my Samsung Galaxy S25. So it's not a replacement for any fitness app. It just acts as a bridge between various apps, which is kind of what I said, but well done for mopping up my misunderstanding to some degree, Malcolm. I heard a rumor, Malcolm finishes by saying, that Google was thinking about changing this and enhancing Health Connect to be a proper fitness app, but who knows if that's really true. So yeah, thank you, Malcolm, for that bit of feedback. And talking of Scott, Joe,
yeah, he said last show that he had no reason to buy the Pixel 10 Pro, but shortly after recording the podcast he got an email from Google with 25% off the Pixel 10 series. He still wasn't sure at first, but we had an update from him. Yep, couldn't stand it. Ordered the Pixel 10 Pro as stated above. $250 off, $550 to trading his Pixel 9 Pro XL.
Yeah.
And the rest he can cover with cashback from his credit card. So I think that's a no-brainer, to be honest. And I'm pretty happy for him.
Yeah,
I saw that. And, decent buy that, I think. Decent. I don't know about a decent upgrade, because I don't think it's that much different, but... certainly a decent price. It worked out for him.
Yeah. We all want new, don't we?
and he'll get the journal, the Google Journal app, which no one else will get if they haven't got a 10 series Pixel device, at least not yet. Right, guest gala time now. And David, welcome to the show. And this is your space, really. So, you know, talk about whatever you want to do. We'll all chip in as you go. Bit of history about what you've been using, what you're currently using. Whatever you want to talk about, really, you take it away.
Well, okay, doke. Well, my first phone ever was the Nokia 8210. Back then, it was in the days that not everyone had a phone, so I was never really, into phones at all back then, but eventually friends were starting to get mobile phones, and I thought I'd jump on the bandwagon. I always said I'd never wanted a phone with an aerial on. You know, those aerials that came out, they just annoyed me on it. So the 8210, no aerial, obvious aerial, that is. Nice, friendly pocket-sized, and did the job. Then it got me hooked on...
it was tiny, wasn't it?
But I got the bug, and then started changing my phone so often. I can't even name all the phones that I've got. I don't know whether it will show in the show notes to the people listening in, but I've done this list of all the phones that I've had that I can remember. I know there's more actually on that list of a photograph list, that is, to see all the phones that I've got. So it's a nice little memory thing they've got to flip back and
have you built that up over time, or did you just sit down one day and do it?
I more or less sat down one day and did it. After a while, I thought, you know, I need a record of all these. And then as time's gone on, I just keep adding to it. Every time we get a new phone.
We'll certainly put a link to that in the show notes, yeah, so people can... It's a shared Google Photos album, and you've just put all the photographs. That's a really good idea. Well done.
I love it. Yeah. Like a little museum.
It is. As I say, there's a couple missing off there. There was one that I can't even remember the name of. It was an O2 and it was a Windows phone. But that's the only thing I can remember about it. But again, it was one of those phones. I didn't keep it that long. I never got on with Windows Mobile in that early generation. You know what? How they used to try to mimic a PC style Windows before they went all with those square blocky things.
That was where the era of the iPack and the Jam and things like that, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but since then, I sort of moved into the smartphone era, and I think to some degree the first smartphone, if you can call it a smartphone, was the Nokia N97. Would we call that a smartphone?
Yeah, definitely. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a great phone. I loved the flick-out keyboard, but didn't do an awful lot that modern-day smartphones did. The apps were limited and such like. So what I probably really regard as my first, what I would call proper smartphone, was the HTC Desire, which I absolutely loved that phone.
Yay.
At about the same time, and I can't remember, I also had the Apple 3GS, and I can't actually remember which one I had first, but I do remember Android was what hooked me in, you know, the ability to customize it and such like.
Mm-hmm.
Appealed to me much more than the Apple lockdown system, and although I tried Apple several times since, I just don't get on with it. I'm not an Apple hater or anything, but Android's for me.
You're talking our language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ever since I've been with Android. Since then, I have become a bit of a Samsung fanboy. I've had lots of others. I've had Sony's, I've had LG's, I've had Pixels, but I always seem to return back to Samsung's. It's just something in the software that I just love. The first Samsung was the S2, the Galaxy S2, and I absolutely love that phone. I actually went to, if you recall, the TV program, The Gadget Show. They did a live event in Birmingham, and I went to that. I can't remember the year, but it was the year that the S2 came out, and it was prior to it actually coming out on general release, but they did have it on show down there, so I had to play with it at the show, and I was absolutely blown away by it. The camera was amazing, you know, for the time, and just a nice thin phone with a decent sized screen, again for the time. I absolutely loved it, so I stuck with Samsung's for a while. Then the next, and I had the 4, the 5, sorry, apologies, not the 5. That was the one that had the back that was like a plaster, sticky plaster. Didn't like that one. But then the S6, which was the first glass-backed Samsung, and I just thought they'd come of age then. Really modern quality device, and I absolutely loved that. And then the S7 after that was probably first phone with a curved edges, and again I love the curved edges that Samsung brought in. I thought that made phones really futuristic and something that I really miss now, that it's something that's gone. A few phones still have it. The Motorola's still have a few, don't they?
Yeah, they do indeed, and I like it.
Yeah, I used to love it, but it seems Samsung faded it out, and it's becoming a thing of the past. However, it's become less important to me because I've now become a lover of folding phones. So curved edge isn't really applicable to the folding phones. So not something I miss too much these days. After the slab phones, I finally changed to a OnePlus Open.
Did you, on that Galaxy S7, did you have any battery problems?
I don't recall any battery problems.
Because wasn't that the one that had the kind of battery gate issue going on?
No, that was the Note 7.
Oh, the Note 7. Okay, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this was just the S7.
Okay.
So no issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as I say, first folding phone I got was the OnePlus Open. I'd had to play with the Samsung Folds, and my girlfriend had one of those. But the early ones, they were too bulky, and the outside screen was too thin. So I never fancied that, but the OnePlus Open had a decent outside screen, but there was something about the hardware I just didn't get on with. So that got sold after about a week or two. I didn't keep that very long at all. But I bought it off the classifieds and sold it again on the classifieds. and sold it for the same as I paid for it. So that wasn't too bad. But I went back to, I think it was on probably an S23 Ultra as well, which I'd kept because it was a bit debatable whether to keep the Fold, so I'd kept it. So I went back to that. But then I kept seeing my girlfriend's folding phone and being jealous of it, but still thinking it was a bit bulky. But then the Honor V2 came out, and I loved that phone, and I bought that outright from Honor themselves, and absolutely loved it. But after about 3 months, I was missing the slab phone again. I don't know why. just found myself missing it. Again, I'd kept probably the S24 by then, I think I had. So I went back to that. And after I'd sold that, I regretted it straight away. It was, why did I sell that beautiful V2? I think Richard Yates has always gone about how much he loved that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, he's got one as well. So every time he got his out in the pub, he was like, oh, why did I sell that phone? I loved it. So I was missing the folding factor again. So I eventually got a Fold 6, which wasn't too bad. It was that bit thinner. And also the outside screen was just about usable by that stage. They just made it couple of millimeters wider and such like, and it was just about usable, and I kept that for probably about 6 months, which is quite a long time for me for a phone. And then when the Fold 7 came out again, I bought that direct from Samsung. They got an absolutely fantastic deal that they were doing, so my outlay was only about £600 with the trade-in and various offers that I was able to do. So £600 out of my pocket for the Fold 7 didn't seem too bad at all.
Not bad at all, no.
So how often do you have it unfolded? Percentage, outside, inside?
Outside, probably never. Inside... It varies. Most of the time, I would probably say I use it folded. But certainly in the evening when I go to bed, it's unfolded. Before I go to sleep, I would usually watch a bit of YouTube or...
When I said percentages for outside and inside, I didn't mean the house. I meant how much of the percentage of the time do you use it open and do you use it closed? Yeah.
Yeah. In a day, I'd say it's 50-50.
Oh, right. You know, okay.
In the evening, I'll open it. I'll watch some YouTube. In the day, I'll flick it open every now and again, even reading something that just needs that bigger screen. But the outside screen is so good now. I do find that I use that so much more than the previous versions.
Right.
I think Samsung have absolutely nailed it with this version. It's so slim when it's closed that it just feels like a normal phone. That's been said so many times, but it's just true. And
it's a wonderful device. Yeah,
yeah, really nice. I absolutely love it. The only negative I can say to it is the battery life's not great. It's good. It gets me through a day most days. But I'm never too far from a charger, you know, a wireless charger or wired, whichever. If I'm going out of an evening, I'll bang it on a wired charger just to give it that boost just before I go out of an evening. But 9 times out of 10, it sees me through the day.
Do you multitask much, David? Or
no, not really. The real reason for opening it is to watch media. I'm a great fan of older TV, sci-fi, so Star Trek or Space 1999 and stuff like that. And that works really well because it was filmed in more of a square aspect ratio.
That's perfect.
So you zoom into it and it fills the screen and you only chop off a very small side of the picture, so you never notice that. So it works really well for stuff like that. But anything more modern, obviously, you get the black bars at the top and bottom, but it's still great. It still gives it a fairly big screen to be viewing on, so enjoy it. I mean,
in terms of multitasking, Joe, I find that the one that I very often use is the updating of the apps. So I'll have on the left side, I'll have a pair set up. On the left side, it'll be the Samsung Galaxy Store, and on the right hand side, the Play Store. And I'll just launch both of those. Typically, when I've fired the phone up, this is the Fold 5 I've got. When I've fired it up after a period of not using it, that's the first thing I go to and just let it all catch up. But you do more multitasking, don't you, Joe?
Yeah, I like to when I'm looking, I don't know, like at hotels online, or it's good to have different screens on at the same time. Often copy and paste, and it's easier rather than flicking through pages, just do it from one to another.
I agree with the top copy and paste. I do that often. You know, if it's a banking app or something that you're doing, or even if you just want a calculator on the side, that's useful as well when you've got some figures that you've got in your bank or whatever. The calculator's a very useful one to bring up on the side.
Oh, yeah, that's great on top, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Very good. So in the show notes, we'll link to Joe, your video, because you did a video on your YouTube channel, Screen On Time, comparing the Honor Magic 5 with the Z Fold 7. So we'll put a link in the show notes to that. Anyone that hasn't seen it, any highlights in there?
Yeah, it's just a few reasons why I think the V5 is better over the Fold 7, but it's subjective. But like the cameras. I showcased them multitasking on there as well. Give it a watch. Yeah. It's not too long a video.
Good.
I'll give that a whirl.
Well, I'm David. I'm concerned at the moment that my Fold 5 is just too narrow on the outside. I can't afford a Fold 7, and I did wonder if moving up to a Fold 6, which is kind of within range for me, would make the difference. But I don't know what you do. You think that is? I think that technically it's like only 1 millimeter difference.
I think it is, but it does make that difference. Mm-hmm. I'd say my girlfriend had the Fold 5, and I had the 6. And I compared them both, and I really felt there was quite a significant difference, even though we were only talking about that 1 millimeter. But right. It does make that difference to make it usable.
Is there a bit of a weight difference as well, though?
Yeah, I would totally agree. The Fold 6 is a chunky monkey.
And it's also got squarer corners, hasn't it? So my Fold 5, it kind of goes round at the corners more.
I agree, and it was more comfortable in the hand. That is true.
Right, okay.
I think it should hold out for the 7. There'll be one on the classified soon enough.
Yeah, not too far away. Yep, okay.
Yeah.
Do carry on, David.
Just quickly, David, on the V2, how did you find the software? Because Ted's had a love-hate relationship with the Magic OS. So I wonder how you found it.
I found it okay, to be honest. I did miss the Samsung software. Still something that just works with that. It pairs with watches better, and there's just something nice about Samsung software. But I didn't have a problem with the V2 software, the Honor software. I quite liked it. In fact, to some degree, it sort of leads me on to one of my rants, because the Honor software, it's got a bit more about it, a bit more animations, if you like, than the Samsung is quite flat, whereas the Honor and a lot of the Chinese phones have a bit more about them in, you know, scrolling through your home screens, the transitions, you can have, you know, flipping over or card stack, I think they call it, where it zooms in and zooms out as you flick through your home screens. And I like things like that with animations.
Can't you do that via the GoodLock modules?
There's nothing in GoodLock that I've been able to find that does anything like that. The only way I can find it is to... I tried Nova on it. I used to love Nova, but I think it's...
R.I.P.
I tried it the other day and it was awful. It lasted about 10 minutes before I turned it off and just went back to the standard UI.
So animations is a rant. They're not good enough.
Yeah. Well,
make fans run.
I remember the days of the HTCs, and if you remember, when you opened up an HTC, you'd have a little ring at the bottom that you flick with your finger, and then the icons would spin in like a little whirlwind. I remember the LG phone, when you were opening it up, your finger across the screen would open a hole in the window as it opened up to your main screen from the lock screen. And I love that sort of fun element of phones, and it's gone. Everything, you know, material design came in and everything went flat. Icons went flat. We used to have quite nice 3D icons and things, and it all went flat. And to me, it just all got a bit boring. I mean, now that we've got gestures on phones, that gives a little bit of animation where you flick things away. And there's, you know, it sort of swirls on the screen back into the folder that it was in. But it's not the same. I'd like lots of animations. And going back to an iPhone, you recall when you sent an email and a little envelope would fold up and turn into an aeroplane and fly off your screen. I love stuff like that, and that sort of thing just seems to have disappeared from the fun of phones. I used to enjoy that.
You know, when you've got an in-screen fingerprint scanner, I love to change the animation on that, which some phones let you do. And
it's
a nice touch, isn't it?
It's just these little tweaks that makes using a phone just a bit more enjoyable, I think. I know some people prefer that flatness and nothing happening, but...
And also dragging in back gestures and things like that. So the Far East phones, you'll get this kind of animated bubble thingy that follows your finger in from the side. When you plug the cable in to charge it, you'll get some really fancy bubbly thing going on. And I do know what you mean.
It's nice. I do. I like most. I miss a lot of that. As you say, you do get it on some of the Chinese phones, but.
There's enough in Samsung to hold you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's one of those, it's an old phrase, but it just works.
I find that I get confused, though, to be honest, David. There's so much in there that sometimes I go to my phone and I don't quite like something it's doing, and I think where was the switch for that? How do I change that? And I'm going through. I'm asking Gemini, saying I can't remember where the setting is, and she usually comes up with it. But don't you find the whole thing very confusing?
I do. I think that applies to all Android phones. I think the same problem lies with all of them, finding those hidden menus to find that thing that you just want to turn on or turn off.
Thankfully, the search ability on the menus is a lot better.
If you use the search, it usually finds what you're looking for. So if I can't remember where it is, I just use the search, and nine times out of ten, that works for me. So.
It's great. I think it's great for us to look at these Far East phones more so than perhaps we have in the past, and not just stick with the whole Samsung, Google, Apple thing. Because, as you say, David, there's lots of interesting things going on with them, which I think is worthy of highlighting.
Yeah, I mean, recall I had a Vivo phone once as well, and again that it just had lots of little quirky things on it that were different to any other Android phone in terms of animations and stuff. I really enjoyed that phone as well. Can't quite remember the model of that, but
the software was Fun Touch, but now it's changed to the Chinese version now, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
I like the software on the Vivo I had. Mm-hmm. It was quite nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some interesting things coming out of the Far East. We must. I keep threatening to get something from Xiaomi, which I've not had for a long, long time, and see what they're doing with HyperOS 3. But I haven't quite got to that yet.
Yeah, I think the fear with a lot of Chinese phones is the support. That's another thing with Samsung. You do know you've got the support there.
Mm-hmm.
If something goes wrong with the Chinese phone, I'm not confident that the support's there. I know they've got the warranty, but I'm not totally convinced.
Joe, defend Honor.
Yeah, well, Honor are actually getting better.
To be fair, Honor are quite prevalent now in the UK, so they're not too bad.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Motorola are a bit better than they used to be as well with regards to that. Although Motorola don't quite comply in the same way as we've just been talking about, the whole Far East animations and interesting stuff. I mean, the Motorola thing is actually quite kind of standardized in a sense. They haven't gone over the top. Yeah, that's right. They haven't quite gone over the top in the same way as the other ones have. But it's interesting to test all these things out. Joe, you also like the OnePlus thing, don't you?
Yeah, OnePlus is really nice software. That's something they've always been good at.
On the OnePlus Open, the software on that was lovely. Really like that. It's a very nice phone. I didn't like the hardware on it, but I did like the software.
Did you have the green one? I'm obsessed with green phones.
Yeah, I did have the green one, yeah. That's
very
right.
Nice.
Although I did like when they brought that red or crimson one out. That one was beautiful. Very expensive, and I think only came in the 1 terabyte version. So.
And you could only get the Chinese one, couldn't you, in red?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, I think
I think it went on the UK site.
Oh, did it?
Go on. Yeah, it did. Yeah. I looked at it. Yeah. I was never going to buy it, but I looked at it.
Yeah, I looked at it several times, but again, I was never going to buy another one.
No. Yeah. Okay, any more rants or anything?
Just a minor rant, and it's not really about phones themselves, but it's AI. I know it's useful to some people, but it's the way that the phone companies are trying to introduce it and force you to use it and then charge you to use it.
Yeah.
Particularly the charging to use it, I think. You know, Pixel give it you for, is it 12 months for free? So they want to hook you in and then you'd miss it if it was gone, I think is the intention. But £20 a month or whatever it costs, it's ridiculous.
£18.99, yeah.
Yeah. I just think it can be, as I say, it's useful to some people, and maybe if I was still working, writing letters and stuff, it would be useful for that. But all it's useful for me is the occasional having to play with the photograph and, you know, changing the photograph to something silly. You know, I put one on the photo site recently of a toadstool, which I took the toadstool, but then AI put a fairy on top, which I thought was clever and funny. But didn't seem that many people thought as much of it in the photos group.
Hardly critical.
Which I didn't mind. It was a bit of fun, that one. It wasn't a serious attempt to have a great photo in there. But
That whole that whole payment thing. Joe and I have had this with the Honor devices, with this image to video thing, and they started off with this deal with Google, and it was you could have so many a day or something, and it was all free, and then suddenly it was 51p a shot. I looked up Joe particularly. I looked up on Google how much it would cost to get the VO3 on board, or whatever it's called now. And you know, they're charging. If you want to have the VO3 as a service, you've got to buy into it, not only buy into it to buy a premium package, but then you get charged 11p a second.
Wow.
When you actually send the data up to be processed, 11p a second, that's what they were quoting. If you did a kind of 10-second video, that's another quid on top of the package, the premium package you've already had to pay for. So I do get that, David. The AI thing is a bit of a trap, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a trap. They try to hook you into something, and then suddenly, if you use it a lot, you don't want to be without it. But I think $18.99 a month, it's a lot of money. Yeah.
We've lived so many years without it. Do we truly need it? I mean, it's nice. But yeah.
I think, like you say, it's good fun, and you can play with it, and you can wow at it. One of the most useful things I found was with the One UI system, where you could any website that you're looking at, you can just tap the summarize button on the right, and I'm sure other systems do this as well now, but it just goes through whatever you're looking at and gives you a summary of it. So for someone that is going to use that feature, that it's very clever and it does it well.
I'd be scared about what is missing out, though. If it's clearly summarizing it, but that must mean it cuts something out, and I'd think, well, what bit of that content have I missed? So I'd probably end up reading the whole thing anyway. So
Okay, right. It's time for Malcolm Bryant to tell you off if you haven't brought an app to the show, David. So
I'm in trouble then.
You've mentioned Nova, of course.
Yeah,
I have mentioned Nova.
RIP again.
Yeah. Other than that, my apps are fairly standard. I'm looking at my home screen now, and obviously MeWe's on there. Heating systems on there, eBay, messages, Instagram. There's nothing fancy on there that I don't particularly use any app that's unheard of.
I'll save the day. I've brought one to the table.
good. Well done, Joe.
So my friend shared some images yesterday, and it was taken with an iPhone with the Pro Camera app by Moment. And it looked really nice, actually. Like, some of the over-sharpening wasn't there, and he said it's outstanding. So I might buy it, and I'll report back on it. Yeah, seems good. So I do like the Moment products as well.
Do you?
Is it subscription, though, when you buy it? Do you have to...
No, I think it's a one-off.
Is it a one-off?
Buy, I think. I'll look into it.
Oh, hang on a minute. It's $8.99 in-app purchases, but that's taken me straight to the American Apple App Store.
Yeah, I'll look into it and report back, but the images you shared was really good. I've heard it was a one-off payment, but yeah, I'll see.
Okay, and the other one that I was going to highlight was one that Zach Q. Dennis brought to Android Authority, which was worth a look, and I installed this and was playing with it. It's called Material Capsule Dynamic UI, and it's basically a rip-off of Dynamic Island. I've been using Jawamo's Dynamic Spot very successfully, but this one by Zach... Material Capture, it looks even more feature rich than Dynamic Spot. There are some differences, so it's worth having a look at that. It costs £2.19 for Zach's one, or £3.18 a year. You can buy it outright for £2.19, but the Dynamic Spot I paid £3.59 for it in 2023, but there's a flaw in the Google Play Store, you know, whereby if you have already bought it and you're signed into your account, you can't actually find out how much it costs again. Or, you know, in 2023 it was £3.59. Well, how much is it now? I've no idea. The only way you can find out, it seems, is to go in to the Play Store, not signed into your account, and then have another account, sign into that one, install it, and then go and try and up it to premium and see how much they want to buy. It just it seems a bit nutty, really. And I threw this one at Malcolm Bryant again, and he said, because he's our developer friend, and he said that he agrees with me. That seems to be the way it works. And he agrees that it should be better than that. The in-app purchases. If you go to the Play Store, he says, and look at the kind of breakdown of the data there, the in-app purchases may say something like £3.79 to £95.99, which is really completely useless. And the only way of doing it then is what I just said, is to sign in with something is alien to the system, and then to install it and then go from there. It's a flaw in the system, and I think it should be exposed.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
So there you go. That was the app wrap. Do stay with us if you've got the time, David, as we go through the rest of the stuff. They've got the news and the phone news and the general news and some software news, and then we'll see where we go from there. So, Joe, over to you.
Yeah, so just quickly some general phone-related news. So most of us probably heard this already, but Samsung reportedly, the unpack's going to be a bit later this year, on the 25th of February. So I guess it will come out shortly after that, a week or so. So there's a big opportunity for some of the other brands to get in early in January. It'll be interesting.
That's S26, yeah.
S26 series, on the 25th of Feb, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be in its usual location in San Fran, isn't it? Again, they like to do it there. Yeah, San Fran on February 25th. Okay. I'd love to go if anyone's hearing from Snapdragon. Anyway, moving on. There's also some sketches found of the Honor 500 design. It looks very much like the Edge, doesn't it, a bit, but with a long elongated camera module.
That's a bit like a Pixel, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, a long camera module, but it's also looks very thin, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if it's going to be another thin device.
Edge 70.
Interesting. Watch this space. But I love the 400 Pro, and it's done very well for Honor, the 400 range, so I suspect they're looking for big sales on that one as well.
Yep.
So the one we've spoke about a lot of these phones already, but we've got some confirmed global releases now. So the OnePlus 15 is going to be launched globally on the 13th of November. There's a lot of unboxing and early impression videos coming out now, I've noticed. One of my friends actually went to Singapore with Galen Gadgets, with Snapdragon, and it was game orientated, which I suggested the phone was going to be like, but he shared a lot of images on his Twix, and they are very nice, actually. The camera does seem to perform really well, so could be a really nice device, that one. The Realme GT 8 Pro is also going to be global in November. I don't know if we've got a date on that one. Let's quickly check the link.
Is that the one where you can choose what islands on the back?
Yeah, so you can choose.
Change it from square to round, is that right?
Yeah, different camera modules. I'm not sure which one I like more, actually. I think probably the square one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks like a really interesting device. It doesn't say the actual launch date, does it? Just says November.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, and we don't know for sure if it's going to have exactly the same specs as the China model, but it'll be very similar, I'm sure. But it does look like a very nice device. I've seen a lot of images from that. Obviously, as motivators, we have to mention the Motorola Edge 70. It's the full specs are launched, and it's actually on the Moto website now.
Is it? Like, can you buy device. It now?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, oh, I right. had a quick look. Yeah. So I'll stick that link in there. I really like the bronze green one. It looks really nice with like the lime sort of highlights on there.
Oh yeah.
So Brendan Arndt actually did a really good video on this. He put on his LinkedIn about it, and he gave a glowing review of it. Actually, he said the battery's really good, considering it's 4,800 milliamp hour. So, yeah, it should be a really nice device. I won't bang on too much about that, because I'm sure we'll go on about that going forward as well, Ted, won't we?
Yeah.
A bit more motivator stuff. The Moto G 57 and the G 57 Power are now officially available and already on sale for your lower end phones. Moto do spit out a lot of phones, don't they?
Yeah.
These are powered by the
phones are quite nice looking these days.
Yeah.
The Motos, they've improved the look of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the backs are quite molded, aren't they?
I find, like, no matter what price point you buy, they all have this really nice textured finish.
Yeah,
which is beautiful.
We don't normally get the Power, though, do we, Joe? In the UK, I don't think. The Power is the one with the whacking great big battery in it, isn't it?
Yeah, Ted. Because also on that note, I noticed at work, O2 now doing the G6 and G6 Power. So they've also done the Power with that one as well.
Right.
So, yeah, there's more power coming to the UK. but, yeah, some good stuff from Moto. All different price points. You're covered. Mm-hmm. There's first renders of the Pixel 10a, which is the A-range is always quite good devices. It's still keeping the camera bar-free look with a little pill, camera pill, if you like. Looks very much like the 9A, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, really good value devices. Really, does it? No, it doesn't, no. I think Google are going to be a bit like this now, going forward. They're not going to change looks too much. Very much, well, we've said before, they're going the Apple sort of route, aren't they, going forward? But yeah, they're normally really great devices, the A series.
Lovely to have a flat back, isn't it?
That's yes. what I was just going to say, Ted. Yeah. I hate the bump on the normal Pixels. I think that's just too big an island on the back. But the A-series, they do look very nice.
Well, this might be the phone for Chris Clayton, because he said he wanted one without a camera bump, and that hasn't got a camera bump at all.
Of all the phones that I've got here and in recent time, I don't think I've got not a single one with a flat back on it. I'd have to go back to the Razer phone, I reckon, to get a flat back.
That blue colour's really nice as well in the link.
It is nice blue. That very similar to the Fold blue, actually, the Fold 7 blue.
Yeah, the Fold 7 blue is really, really nice.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I've not heard of this one. I've seen this link in Evefit, Ted, but it's worth mentioning. The OnePlus Turbo.
A new
range by
me.
OnePlus.
Yeah. Unless it's China only or something.
It could well be, yeah. 165 hertz refresh rate, 8 Gen 5 SoC, a gigantic 8,000 milliamp hour battery with support of 100 watt wired charging. Interesting device. There's not great specs on the camera, because I don't think it's a camera-orientated phone.
Oh, it's being tested currently in India, so maybe it's an India-only thing. Right, okay.
It could well be, but it's an interesting new device. I wonder what price point it will be. I'm guessing it's a lower end phone, but upper mid range actually with that chipset. But yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah.
And what we got? Oh, the Vivo X300 Ultra. I'm really excited about this. Actually, it is apparently going to be going global after all. Because even Brendan Arndt commented on that, didn't he, saying that the EU will have shrunken the battery, though, which is kind of the case all the time at the moment. But I had the X100 Ultra a couple of years back, and I loved it. I'd be quite keen to get hands on this.
It's a massive camera bump, though, on the back of that, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got two 200 megapixel sensors on there, the main and the ultra wide, the main and the telephoto, I mean. So it's a bit of a beast. But yeah, I'm guessing the teleconverter would work on that as well, or they'll come out of one. Although they're obscene money, them teleconverters, I think. Then Oppo's Find X Find N6 surfaces as well with a 6,000 milliamp hour battery. This is the closest you're going to get to a new OnePlus Open, I think.
Yeah. OnePlus Open 2.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Looks like a lovely device. Oppo seem to be taking over the flagship side of things, don't they? And OnePlus are, like I said, moving to the more gaming and performance side of things.
I think the highlight here is the big battery, isn't it? Isn't that the biggest in a folder so far?
I think so, yeah.
Sounds it, yeah.
But will we get that size in the UK? I don't know.
Well, Motorola do it.
Yeah, they can do it. But the cameras are probably going to be decent on that. There's 350 megapixel. There's a 50 megapixels, 3x periscope telephoto, 50 megapixel main as well. So it's quite high specs on the camera. Mm. So they obviously want to compete with Honor V5 and the Fold 7. The battery looks like it's going to be very good.
Yeah.
So that, watch this space on that one.
Cool.
And we've only got one more here. How do you pronounce this one, Ted?
Ioneo.
I've never heard of that.
This is a company that normally makes these little handheld gaming devices.
Yes, I've heard of them. Yeah, I've heard of them actually. Yeah,
we talk about a lot about them on Tech Addicts podcast. But the news here is that they have ventured into making a phone.
Yeah, interesting. I'm guessing it's gaming orientated again. Yeah. Whereas that's their background. I mean, I like trying new things, so yeah, let's get one of them in, Ted.
That's got a flat back.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Cool.
I can't imagine the cameras will be great on that, but again, it's not what it's all about, that one.
And again, it will also depend on cost as to how successful that'll be. Because we've seen prices going up on those little handheld gaming devices. Some are still cheap, but some are hiked up a bit. Right, bit of software news. Android 16 makes updates nearly instantaneous with seamless app updates, which means when you go and do your app updating, like I was talking about earlier, they're going to be streamlining that process and just do it much quicker. I don't notice it yet, to be honest, but and I've got a few devices on Android 16, mostly Pixels, but it should be coming. Samsung Internet is coming with support for PCs again. They started looking at this a few years ago. So the Samsung Internet app that you get on a Samsung phone, David, you will, if you've got a Windows computer, soon be able to get that same app on your Windows computer, and it will cross sync with all your Galaxy devices. We did touch on this on the last show, but yeah, this is something that, you know, moving away from just being relying on Microsoft's phone link, I think, and doing something independently.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good for the Samsung ecosystem, and it's a little touch that it needs.
Indeed.
Uncle
Carl bloats out the new Nothing phone with uninstallable apps, even though he said he wouldn't. And then there was such an uproar in the tech press about it that he's U-turned it and said that anyone that's buying this new phone and finds it's uninstallable, that by the end of I can't remember when, I think he said the end of November, actually, those uninstallable apps will be, The apps that are uninstallable will become uninstallable.
Yeah, they're good.
Am I saying that right? The apps that are not uninstallable will be uninstallable. So, he's basically U-turned on that. So who knows what, you know, he must have been getting money from the firms that he's done a deal with to make those uninstallable. So presumably he's had to give them some money back. And the last thing, which is completely alien to me because I don't use it, but hopefully other people might, is that Google Maps is integrating Gemini in a conversational type driving experience way. So the way into which that they the ways in which they demonstrated this was that you're, you know, going along in your car and looking out the window at some building you're going past, and you can just in a conversational way say to Gemini, oh look, there's that building that I went to a judo class in once, what's that called again, and then get the answer. And you know, interactive driving experience depending on where you are and what you're doing. So for those
sounds interesting.
Say it again.
Are they charging it for it?
They probably will eventually. Yeah. Absolutely. Or they'll bake it into one of the premium products so no one else can get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you go. There's a few snippets of software stuff that's coming along. Right, Joe, what have you been up to with your phone stuff?
So I still haven't put my main SIM in the Motorola Razr Ultra yet, which I said I was going to do. But I have played with it on and off, and I would say I still very much like the device. However, I don't think the flip form factor is for me, with a preference for basic slabs or foldables. So it's like a little bit of a larger canvas. One thing I found annoying at times is the navigation, as I've mentioned previously when I talked about iOS, navigation is important to me. When I've opened it up, sometimes catch the plastic, you know, where the center crease is dead center. You've got the plastic on the edge. Mm-hmm. I sometimes catch that. And I mean, it's only a minor thing and it's a me problem. I just have to move my hand, navigate my phone, my hand down a little bit and it's fine. But it does frustrate me. I do really like this silly little game. I forgot to look up the name of it. But I play on the outer screen. It's this little ball that you move around a maze and avoid holes. it works really well as a little pocket square and moving it around. So that's been fun. Thanks again to Jim for sending me over the Clicks keyboard. Sadly, it didn't fit, though, so I sent it straight back. But it was nice to get hands-on with it and see the build quality. It's a very nice piece of kit, and it should be for the price, to be fair. But, yeah, thanks for sending that, Jim. It's a shame it didn't fit. I'm off to an Honor event this week, but I haven't been given embargo details yet, so I won't say too much on it. And I believe a few other PSE MIUI community members are going as well. This has added an extra reason for me why I haven't moved my SIM from the V3. Not that I need another reason anyway, because I love it. So yeah, look, I'll feed back on that what I can in the next show.
Don't say anything, Joe, but I can say that it would very much likely be David, the Magic 8 Pro, David, not Joe. we can't engage Joe on it. Yeah. But the Honor the Magic 8 Pro, I think, is quite an interesting one, because we were speaking about it with the guy from China who reviewed it in video form, and we concluded that the screen was a little bit less wide, and I think that'll be a better version than the Magic 7 Pro. So I'm quite interested in that, and I know you can't say anything, Joe, but if it is that, I shall be very keen to get hands on with that. You're right. What's next?
No comment. Another exciting development for me is I'm going to be getting the Nothing Phone 3 for review for a 28-day period. Mm. It's a very interesting device. I'm looking forward to testing it out. So more on that to come. Bloat and all. I can see what a bloaty.
No, it shouldn't be on that one.
Shouldn't it? Oh, okay, good.
It's the new Nothing Phone that's the problem.
Okay, good stuff. And then just finally from me, I just wanted to say a quick massive thank you to John Terry and Scott Brady for my first ever beer and coffee pot donations.
Hey.
Very, very, very generous of them. I'm not sure I really deserve it, but I very much appreciate it. Thank you, fine gentlemen.
Yeah, good for those people. And yeah, we'll give you the coffee pot links at the end of the show, but it's really encouraging. So thank you, anyone that's chipping in to the pot for all of us, really, do keep doing it, including to Steve as well, because Steve has put out a couple of videos this week, one on the Surface Duo 2, which is coming back to me at some point soon, and he's got his little coffee pot going and his support mechanism, so do remember him as well. He'll be on PSC, coming on the show for the Crimbo special in December.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, watch out for that one, and we'll have a good chat with Steve. I have been playing with all sorts of things. I've already covered most of what I said about the Z Fold 5, I think, so I won't go over that again. I do kind of meander back to it now and again, because I do use the S Pen for note-taking, especially typically, I think, when I'm watching a film that I want to review later and I'll look for something to write it down on. Now, I could use paper and pen, of course, but it's just quite techie and fun to do that. And the other thing that is a real big thing for me, I don't know if you've got one, David, but the Galaxy Watch Ultra, I just think is simply the best watch I've ever, you know, best smartwatch I've ever used. Do you have one?
I don't. I've got the Galaxy Watch 7, but the Ultra, I didn't fancy that one at all.
It's very big. I can see why people wouldn't want it on the wrist, because it's a lump of a thing. But the big thing for me, as I think I've said before, is it's got a speaker on it, and it plays media and music, and you can send to the internal storage on it albums. And, you know, of course, it's not anything like as good as the speakers on a Bluetooth speaker or even the phone. But for me, walking around the house, having this little speaker on my wrist is just great, and I think it works really well.
I think most Samsung watches do that, though. They've all got speakers on them.
Yeah, but they're not as good as the Ultra.
The Ultra's probably got a bit more.
It has. It's got more beef to it, and I end up turning the volume down, in fact, to about 75%. Now, there's a battery issue, of course, which is, you know, while you're doing that, it's going to... I worked out that it uses about 10% an hour of the battery if you have it at 75% volume.
That's not too bad.
No. And so if you've got it going for 2 or 3 hours, then you've got, you know, 30% of your battery gone. But sorry, Joe, you were jumping in there?
Yeah, I just was going to ask if you've taken a call on it, and you can hear. Can you hear people clearly? If you have,
no, I haven't. I know that people do that with their. I've never been drawn to doing that, and I've got a Pixel watch here as well, and that's really good for that. But I just, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old fashioned or not ambitious enough. But I just, when someone phones me, I pick up my phone.
Yes, it's them situations.
Yeah, I agree, Ted, but there are those occasions when you haven't got a hand free. You can be in the middle of something and you've got enough to just swipe the watch and answer it. And it can be really handy for that when, you know, you're in the middle of something and you want to be hand free, so to speak. So it does come in use occasionally, but I admit I don't use it that often, but every now and again.
That's my homework for the week, then. I'll test it out. So, there's a load of stuff I've put in here about Lockstar and the always-on display, which I've talked about before, so I won't bore everyone. The bottom line is that on the Fold 5, the Lockstar thing still gives you a brightness control slider, whereas on the S24 Plus, which I've also got in hand just now, it doesn't. So there's something different about the two devices. They're on the same software, the same One UI 8, you know, the whole thing, but they, for some reason, on the Fold, they've left it in, and on the candy bar, it's been stripped out, so which is a real shame, I think. But there you go. What else have I been doing? My SIM card tends to be in the Pixel, I have to admit, mostly. And if it's not, it's usually in the Honor 400 Pro. So, you know, there are pros and cons with that one, which I'll come to when we've got more time 1 week. I've still got the Fairphone 5 kicking about, which I'm halfway through doing a review on. The Fairphone 5, 2 years on, compared to the Fairphone 6. So that's another one that I'll come back to. And we've got Jim Fowle, who you mentioned earlier, coming onto this show in a couple of weeks' time, who's going to be talking to us about the e-ink, the new drive towards e-ink phones and TCL next paper stuff and all the rest of that. So watch out for that one. Anything else anybody wanted to say before we get to picture of the week?
Not for me, thanks.
Okay.
They've heard enough of me today.
Let's do that then. I picked a photograph from an Adam and the Ants concert, which Ian Bundy attended. And he's got, you know, the whole buzz in the MIUI group at the moment is that everyone's buying the new Oppo Find X9 Pro. And they're all really enthusiastic about it. And, you know, it costs £1,000 to buy one of these phones. But good for those people getting out there and using them. He's taken this photograph of across the stage in X-Pan mode, in the kind of cinematic aspect ratio in monochrome, which ends up looking like a panorama photograph, and it looks really neat, I think. So I did think that was nifty. Any thoughts on that, David?
It's a good picture. I do like the widescreen aspect of it, because you see the full stage, you can see what's going on. It's moody with the black and white, so yeah, it's a good pick.
Yeah, that particular subject suits widescreen perfectly, doesn't it?
Just, yeah, exactly.
A stage situation is just great. Joe?
Yeah, I do love X-Band images, and it's, like you say, especially for a gig shot like this, it's perfect with the crowd, the stage, the lighting, and it looks really fab in black and white. Did you see the comment I made on this one? I said to Ian, he stood and delivered.
Well, Adam Ant did. Or Ian did, one of the two.
Ian did, I said. But yeah, you could say Adam did as well.
Yeah, it's good to see him still going. He's apparently 71, and he's still up on the stage there doing his thing. I did see a video recently of him stumbling on the stage, which was a bit sad. But yeah, good for him. Well done. Yeah. Right. Okay. Before we go, we'll just cover the classifieds. A pick for each of us from our MeWe classifieds group. If you want to join our classifieds group, it is a private members only group. You'll have to email me and talk to me about joining the group if we're not known to you. But Joe, what have you picked?
So you picked mine. So I snoozed, and you got there first.
All right, I'll do mine first then. My one is the aforementioned Oppo Find X9 Pro, which is available. Someone's selling the 512 gigabyte version, global version, titanium charcoal. The global version has come from Hong Kong, but it comes in with a case and a UK 3-pin plug, and not any old plug, a super VoIP charger. So that's really cool. £885. So as I said earlier, those are being kicked out at £1,000+. So that's a decent saving on that one. So I've nicked that. What have you picked instead?
Well, so I'm very tempted by Andy Morris's Huawei Watch GT 6 Pro. Even with my own money, I'm tempted by this. But I've got the matter of my missus' birthday and Christmas to contend with, so I better not.
So that does that work perfectly with Honor phones?
I suspect it would work quite well, yeah. And it's, I think it's a 16 plus day watch.
Oh, right.
Which really appeals to me.
Battery life's really good on those.
Have you had one, David?
I've not had that one now.
Right.
I've had too many watches, but that's not one of them.
Not a Huawei one at all.
No, I've never had a Huawei.
I'm just about
to mention the price, £180 as well, which is a really good price for that.
Decent.
I'm just a bit dubious about buying anything Huawei, to be honest. But I don't know.
I think the watches would be okay.
Yeah, you'd like to hope that they'd work at least with Honor properly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. Dave, what's your pick? Anything left for you?
Well, I was torn. I was thinking about the X9 Pro as well, but you snapped that up. So the other one in there that would take my fancy is there's an S25 Ultra. I think it's brand new, and it's a really decent product. Is it a friend of yours, Joe?
I've managed to convince him to drop his price a little more.
Dropped his price again,
To if 660. I was in the market,
that's a great price for that.
And it is, and I can confirm it is new and sealed. He got it as a gift in Hawaii, but he already had one, so he's left it sealed. And I think he was trying to make as much money as he could. And I said, "You got it free, you bugger! Yeah. Just give it to someone at a cheaper price.
Share the benefits."
Yeah,
absolutely.
So is it a 512 version?
No, 256.
256, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a great price, but only problem with it. It doesn't fold in half, so not for me. But that's the best in there this week.
Cool. So that's the classifieds. Thanks very much, David, for joining us this week. It's been great to have you on, and you've been a super guest. So hopefully you'll come back and join us another time and catch up with us again.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, phoneshowchat.uk is our website. You'll find links to all the stuff we do there. TessSalmon.com is where you'll find links to all the audio podcasts, all the MeWe groups, where in case you get lost anywhere else. If you want to buy copies for me and Joe, you can do that. Mine is paypal.me/TedSalmon, and Joe's is paypal.me/HickeyJoe. And as we said earlier, it's really encouraging to get those copies, and it really helps us to keep going. So thank you for that.
Mine's Hickey85.
Sorry, what did I say?
HickeyJoe. That's all right.
Hickey, paypal.me/Hickey85 is what Joe's is. Okay, we'll be back in a fortnight's time with another show where we have, as I was saying earlier, we have the guest being Jim Fowl, and we'll be talking about e-ink devices and Big Me's and possibly the new books devices. Who knows where we might be led on that one. So 2 weeks' time, be here and join us again. And thanks for listening this time. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Cheers, guys.